Underwood. Thin ice! To smoke some weed and shut up. My God.
Oh, I thought for sure.
There it is. Boom!
Yes! Okay. Illini Basketball Podcast episode 197. I can't ever find it on Facebook when I'm trying to share it. It's so stupid.
It's hard. Yeah, I got to search for it every time.
Thanks, Zuckerberg, if that's even your real name. Episode 197, February 8th, 2024. No game recap today. Bit of a different feel. I don't know when the last time we did this.
It's been a while, but we haven't had a week in between games very often. So, yeah, broke it up a little bit. I don't know if it helped, but here we are.
Who knows? Probably not. check out armchairalina.com. You got recruiting football stuff over there, all kinds of other things going on. Check that out. And the social media as well, if you want to have a guy who really, you know, goes after us. And then in the past has kind of been like, really, I love Armchair Alina. You guys are so great. And then gets mad at the lunatic.
And then he blocks him over one comment. That's insane.
Yeah. He's an insane person, but you know, whatever. Given all you gotta do is scroll down a couple times and see some of the tweets and the pictures and stuff. And you're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I get it now. But anyway, talking about somebody not being worth our time would be the
thought.
He says we have no listeners, which, you know, we got 5 on Twitter and 5 on YouTube right now. So suck on that. 6 on YouTube now. Yeah. But either way, Illinois going into Michigan State, going into East Lansing on Saturday, big spot, the biggest spot in terms of a Saturday primetime game. It's not really primetime, but it's like a big spot, 1 o'clock afternoon, Saturday.
CBS.
Huge, huge sports day Saturday in terms of looking at the ratings. Because you got Liv against the PGA Tour is kind of what I was going with there, because Liv is in Vegas.
Yeah.
Obviously, their CW ratings are going to be nowhere near what the PGA Tour does in Scottsdale, but it'll be interesting to see how people try to spin it. People on your side, of course, the people who are threatening, advisors with prison time if they, you know, whatever. But you're
a little insane, sure, yeah. I agree.
All right, but look, CBS big spot. I don't know who's going to be on the call. If somebody could find out, last time we had a CBS game, I think it was Jay Wright and Raftery in Tennessee, which you weren't watching the game on TV, but everybody complaining how they were anti-Illinois, which is just insane. I think we're at a spot now where Illini fans, you're just going to say that no matter what. So whatever. It doesn't matter.
It's true.
I like Raftery's commentator, so whatever. Illinois is ranked number 10. They're 17-5, 8-3 in the Big Ten. Now solo possession of second. We'll get into that. Michigan State is 14-9, 6-6 in the Big Ten. Saturday, 1 o'clock Central, CBS. Is there a game before this on CBS? Let me look.
I don't know.
Oh, look, you can talk to the people.
Okay. Bootzilla, what's going on? How you doing? Bergie, welcome. 56 degrees in I don't even know where that is. Burbanus, Illinois. I know I butchered that. It is beautiful here. It's a little windy. It's supposed to be 65 tomorrow. Me and Ethan will be on the golf course for sure. Hermit says, if anybody knows insane, it's Ethan.
That's right.
Jeffrey, what's going on? Hermit says it's huge with a Y.
There is only 2 games on CBS. The second one is the one where you kind of were like, whoa, why is Gonzaga playing Kentucky in February? But that's the second game after this, which I don't know why either. I think they had a deal last year, because Kentucky played last year there. I think they might've had a deal to play. I don't know why it wouldn't have been in December, but either way, big spot for Gonzaga.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's a win-win for them.
The Jeffrey comment from the last episode I wanted to talk about for a second.
Okay.
I think the watch party thing is like you're seeing fans reacting to the game, and then once you take a step back and look at the numbers and other stuff, in the game is kind of what the podcast is.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, and we can, I guess we can still criticize and do things like that, but you know, you take a step back. It's a win. Tominaga went absolutely berserko on Illinois. I don't know if we were so much polishing a turd, as he said, but yeah, the watch parties are for that instant reaction, emotion stuff. And I think this is for kind of afterwards and looking back at it. So,
and the label thing is more of like,
oh yeah,
flip-flopping and saying 1 week this team is a Final Four contender, the next week are we sure they're going to get out of the first round, like stuff like that. And obviously it's easy to label a team that stinks like Rutgers, and yeah, Rutgers is not good. I don't know why anybody would think that they're that they're good at this point. And I think there's a lot of information and stuff that's happened on the court that tells us that. Plus, going into the season, you know, Rutgers is scrappy. Like, they've won some games they probably shouldn't have won. But yeah, they're definitely not good. I mean, offensively, it's really bad. But something to the effect of, you know, not liking labels, which I don't in general. But the overall point is that I don't like how much flip-flopping there is. Like Tyler Hansbrough saying Illinois is a fringe tournament team, which is just batshit crazy.
It's obviously what they're there for, though, is to...
Yeah, and I don't like it.
Rile people up. Jeff says he likes the passion, but also shows where you have concerns. That's fair. He said he never flipped on Rutgers either. Happy Hermit says bipolar fans win and we are good, are going to the national championship, lose and we suck. Also, yeah,
Jeffrey trying to take credit for saying Wisconsin, Iowa State, Nebraska look good early in the season. What'd you say about Samford? Go look at Samford. Samford is good. So
what was that? 3 Samford. Do you want to play them first round?
Hell no. That team's, they got shooters. Kidding me? There was a tweet that said Samford, hang on. An interesting note about Purdue basketball. Their season opening 53-point victory over Samford is a quad 2 victory. Samford is 20-3 after starting the season 0-2 and first in the SoCon, boasting the nation's 4th best scoring offense. Interesting. Who have they played? It doesn't matter who they played. They're in the SoCon.
They play who's on their schedule.
The SoCon is currently the 15th ranked conference in adjusted EM rating, right? Which is the KenPom measuring. And I know you don't like KenPom. It's strength of schedule rating. It's based on how many good teams are in the conference, how many teams they're playing from that conference. It's not a great conference, but it's, you know, middle of the road, which is a 20-3 team in a top 15 conference is good. Like, they're 9-1 in conference. From an efficiency perspective on offense, they're really good. And they've won 19 of their last 20 games. That's the wrong number. They've won 20 of their last 21 games.
That's good. Good math by you.
That's the thing. One concern about them, though, is like Jeffrey did say, and he's right about this, they are so undersized. They're like FDU size-wise, but they're obviously way better offensively than FDU was. Their point guard's 5'8". But other than that, I mean, look, the metrics tell you, and I know you don't like the metrics. I mean, they're shooting over 40% from three. That's good any conference you play in.
Yeah.
So whatever. I don't know. And they run the court. It's a fun little team. And I always, you know, the Purdue.
How many games have you watched Samford play as you call them a fun little team?
3.5.
Okay.
2.5. 1.75 would probably be the lowest number. They lost to VCU in the second game of the season. So that was how they started 0-2. And sometimes it takes teams a little bit to get going. And I know their best win is like probably UNC Greensboro or Louisiana, which is not great, but it's still a team in the tournament where, I mean, they can shoot, and that's always scary. I mean, look at Virginia lost to Furman last year. Furman was a really good mid-major team, but they lost to Penn State. They lost to Old Dominion. They lost to High Point. They lost to NC State, Western Carolina, UNC Greensboro, and Citadel. Those are some brutal losses. And their best win was, Belmont, who was 125th last year in the metrics. And that's a SoCon team, and they won an NCAA tournament game. And then they hung around with San Diego State in the first half and then got destroyed in the second half. So 35-25 at the half. That's not really hanging around, but it kind of is. And that was a pretty undersized SoCon team. So we can go through. I mean, Illinois almost lost to a SoCon team 2 years ago. Chattanooga, how about that? Any thoughts? I mean, you know, what are we doing here?
I don't know. Talking about Samford for 10 minutes, apparently.
Well, it just it's so stupid to like act like the SoCon is the fucking the Horizon League or something, or the Patriot League. I don't get it. It's dumb.
Mission accomplished, Jeffrey. All right.
Not that fired up.
Illinois going into Michigan State.
One F bomb. That ain't nothing.
One F bomb. That was a random F bomb too. But
I wanted to engage the audience. Almost. I mean, Illinois was so bad in that game. Like nobody could make anything. The only reason they won is because of Hawkins blocking that shot at the end, and then Plummer made a big three when he couldn't make anything the entire time. And Plummer had a knack for just making the most insane. Like, how did that go in? Like, similar to Tominaga, except, you know, he jumps way higher. So, anyway, I think it's kind of weird to be in a spot like this at Michigan State, given where things were when, like, Cassius Winston and Io were playing against each other 5 years ago. Yeah. Like, Illinois is a top 10 team. They've made the tournament 3 years in a row, soon to be four. Don't tell that to ESPN. I mean, what a joke that article is. In fact, before we let's talk about that for a second, okay? This ESPN article is just absurd. Why are we pretending like Illinois is not? How do you get away with saying Illinois is not a lock to make the tournament? They are a top 10 metrics team. They have 17 wins. Oh no, their best win is against FAU, who's going to be a top 10 seed in the tournament, and they also scored 98 against them. So like, who else has looked that good against FAU this year?
I don't get it. Technically, their best win is against Michigan State right now because Michigan State's one ahead of FAU in the net.
Yeah, they also beat Northwestern by 30. So, right. I mean, give me a break with that.
I think it's insane that they say that. And then the commentary to support it is just...
Let's just pretend like they don't have a bunch of other players, including the guy who's been their best player for the last month, Marcus Damask. Was he even mentioned in that?
It was all Terrence Shannon.
It was all Terrence Shannon off the floor stuff. And by the way, the Terrence Shannon thing, like how stupid are the people working in the state of Kansas to spell his name wrong? Like what, how is that even possible?
I don't know.
Whatever. But yeah, we get Illinois' one head scratching loss for Illinois is Maryland. That's it. That's the only one. They lost to Marquette, who's, you know, probably not been as good as they should have been right now. Still a top 10 team in terms of metrics. Still a very good team with two really, really good players. Maybe three if you count Igudaro. I think there's a different level for Kolick and Jones. They lost to a really good Tennessee team that scores 90-plus on pretty much everybody. They gave up 86 in that game. Also, Illinois was leading before the hook and hold on Ty Rogers. They lost by 5 to Purdue. They weren't very good in that game. Still came all the way crawling back. Almost they had a chance to tie it. They lost to Maryland. That's a head scratcher for sure. Northwestern, who goes into Northwestern and wins other than Chicago State? Nobody. And they took them to overtime, had a chance to win it. If Damask makes that shot, I don't think Illinois played that well in that game either, but they got it done. They scored. They were terrible against Indiana, 1-8. Indiana stinks, but whatever. Dominated Ohio State, beat Michigan State without Shannon, scored 88 at Michigan, where what, Wisconsin scored 67 last night or something.
Yeah.
Destroyed Rutgers twice, which Rutgers is bad, but it's not easy to go into the rack and completely take the crowd out of it. Purdue couldn't do it. So like ESPN, it's just so Lenardi is a shit bracketologist. Like, let's just get that out of the way. He sucks. How the fuck does he still have Wisconsin on the three line?
I don't know.
How is that even possible?
Ahead of Illinois.
Why do we elevate these teams so high that even when they lose three in a row, we can't back off of it a little bit? Like, nobody's backed off of it, or at least he didn't.
I don't know how he only drops them one spot, because they were the number one 3 seed, and now they're the number 2-3 seed.
They lost to the metrically worst team in the conference.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. I don't care if it's on the road. What has Michigan done at home this year? They lost to Long Beach State by 8. They lost to Indiana by 3. They lost to McNeese State by 11. They lost to Minnesota by 2. They lost to Illinois by 15. They lost to Iowa by 10. They lost to Rutgers by 10. Those are all home games. And then they beat Wisconsin 72-68. I don't get it. like, I'm not trying to label Wisconsin, but what I am saying is maybe back off of them being a three seed. Like, I still think Wisconsin's good. It's just they're in a tough spot right now, and this will probably make them better. And obviously they got Rutgers, Ohio State, Iowa, Maryland, Indiana before they play Illinois. So they'll probably win three or four of those five. Back.
Sure.
But it's weird. I don't get it. Well, of course they do, because Wisconsin lost, and then they probably saw people on Illini Twitter, you know, trying to go after them, which that shouldn't matter to them, but maybe it does.
Jeff says, I get pissed at Brad because they always go away from what's working unless it's shooting threes. I think Brad runs pretty much the same stuff regardless. I mean, it's a five-out guy, backs somebody down, tries to find an open shooter, unless Dane Dange is in the game, and I know that's probably what you're talking about. Bootsilla says the Athletic does not have us as a lock. Hermit says, who listens to ESPN anyways? Squared circle squares here. What's going on? He says, can we talk about Coleman Hawkins? We will later. Should Underwood's son take over after Underwood?
No.
Big, big question there. Hermit, we lose three in a row and we drop out of top 25. That's true. Wisconsin is, what's Wisconsin right now? 14?
11.
11?
Well, they haven't ranked them after the Michigan loss.
I know.
They lost to Purdue and Northwest, or Purdue and Nebraska last week.
Jeff says, think they just had a letdown because they gave up the lead to Purdue.
Every team has been able to recover from a letdown at Michigan this year, though.
Yeah.
Like, Rutgers gave up 20 points in the second half at Michigan last week. So, I don't know. I think Illinois – I don't know. Did Illinois – what was working was making threes because they made three in a row to go up 10. So, I don't know if they went – I guess his point is that they don't go away – they go away from everything that's working unless if the threes are working, they keep shooting threes, which is obviously easier to do. But – I think a big factor is probably Ty Rogers not being in the game, Quincy struggling, Harmon being in the game kind of makes the and Shannon can't drive at all right now. I don't know.
We owned the boards and we owned the rim when Dane was in all 9 minutes. All right.
Dane playing 9 minutes is the perfect spot right now. Give Coleman a breather. Or put him in with Coleman, give Quincy a breather, stuff like that. I don't know. They won the game.
They won the game. Anyways, Michigan State just lost a game to Minnesota.
Underwood's a good coach, by the way. That was my other point.
Oh, yeah. Underwood is a good coach.
Like, I don't know why anybody sits here. Like, I understand you can criticize guys, but, like, come on. If you look at the numbers, just look at the – like, he's got – he's got a pretty good track record as an offensive coach. I mean, 121 efficiency, 111.1 efficiency, 112, 118, 110.9, 109.1, 109.6. Those last two numbers there aren't elite, but you know who was on the roster that had a 109.6 offensive efficiency? Freshman Trip Frazier, Leron Black, sophomore Kipper Nichols, Michael Finke, Aaron Jordan, Mark Smith. I mean, that team stunk. And – yeah, whatever. And he also had 126 at Oklahoma State, by the way.
Poor Scump, he's definitely on the thickest of ice. I don't think
Brad's him a lifetime extension right now.
I'd be all right with that.
I mean, what else did people want? I know they want a Sweet 16, but guess what? The program is as relevant as it's been since Bill Self left and Bruce Weber's first few years. So that's a great place to start. Michigan State coming off a loss.
Yeah, which you don't think matters, so it's not that big a deal. But
I'm not concerned about it. I think the guys need to approach it. Look, it's a road game, big spot. Let's get it done.
Yeah, road kill. 59-56 loss to Minnesota on Tuesday. It's their second game this season where they scored under 60 points. They had 57 at home against Wisconsin. They scored 61 at Maryland and 63 at home against Maryland. So if they're not, you know, knocking down threes and Tyson Walker's not going, you know, they have a hard time scoring, it seems like. It seems like if Tyson Walker isn't there to save them, that they're in trouble. So
yeah, I think AJ Hogarth's had a bit of a tough go here lately, which he was good in the first game against Illinois. By the way, Northwestern was coming off of a loss on the road last time Illinois played them. So
yeah. Forrest Gump says, ever since that losing complex speech in practice, his first year of the program has just risen.
Also, the program has completely elevated since we started this, so I think we deserve some credit.
Yeah, we got in
year three of Underwood.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, the first year sucked. Don't worry about that. We're not doing any of that. And then we came in, and then we're like, oh, they're going to make the tournament. And then COVID happens, and then it's like, okay, Iowa and Kofi are coming back. Okay, we got a one seed now. Oh, wait. Oh, we got Plummer and Kofi together, and Trent's still here, and let's get a four seed. Oh, Matthew Meyer is such a terrorist, but he's give me a break. Eight seed or whatever they were last year. What were they? Nine seed.
Yeah.
Nine seed.
All right.
I think they have a lot of balance, though. It's just your eyes might be deceiving you. I don't know. I know they shot a lot of threes in this game, but like 36 twos, 34 threes in this game. Game before that, 43 twos, 17 threes.
Yeah.
Game before that, 39 threes. Or 39 twos, 23 threes.
And when teams like Nebraska are just, you know, crashing in the lane, that's kind of your option. I mean, you got to hit threes.
Well, look at, like, they got Josiah Alec, who's 6'8". They got Bryce Williams, who's 6'7". Also, they have Juwan Gary, 6'6", super athlete off the bench. They got Mast, who's 6'10". So, like, that's a lengthy team that can change the way you want to play.
Yeah,
and I mean, Ohio State had some of that same length too, but they also are just not a good basketball team and not well coached right now. So, and Indiana, that's I think we could just pretend like that Indiana game never happened offensively. Like, it was just horrible. But
yeah,
I mean, that Northwestern game, they missed 32 twos. They took 52 twos and 24 threes in the Northwestern game, and if you miss 32 twos, not going to win. It's a lot of twos to miss.
I mean, owning, like, getting rebounds and owning the rim are two different things. I don't understand. When you're rebounding 30% of your misses, you can keep shooting the threes.
They have 50 rebounds.
Michigan State shooting 37% from three this year. So got to keep them off the three-point line. They only shot 26% in Champaign. Going 5 of 19.
Yep.
Yep. What's their lineup looking like, Ethan?
It's not pulling it up. Here we go. I assume Tyson Walker's going to play, right? He went down, they came back.
He came back, yeah. So okay. I would assume that he's okay.
Tyson Walker at the 1, 6, 1. Well, he's really a 2, but we're going to pretend like, you know, he's their top player. So 6'1", 185, 2 for 7 from 3 against Minnesota, 20 points, 32 minutes. They only had 9 turnovers in this game. Minnesota had 11. It seems like offenses really go stagnant at Minnesota. You look at some of Minnesota's muck it up wins at home. They, you know, they give up 66 in overtime at Northwestern. They give up 62 to Maryland. They give up 61 to Wisconsin. They lost that game, but still. So Minnesota seems to do that to teams a little bit at home.
They're long too.
Which yep. Helps. AJ Hogard is really their 1, 6'4", 210 senior. Struggled in the last game. 4 points on 1 of 6 shooting, 5 assists, a couple steals. Jaden Akins, 6'4", junior, 16 points on 6 of 11 shooting, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 turnover, 1 block. Against Minnesota in the first Illinois game, he had 13 points on 3 of 7 shooting from 3 and 5 rebounds as well. Then they have Malik Hall, 6'8", 220 senior, 6 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists on 1 of 2 from 3 in the Minnesota game. I would Michigan State, this could be a spot where they look to throw a different lineup out there. Their offense has been struggling since the Michigan game, but before that it was still, you know, the last 4 of the last 5 games, their offense has not been scoring a lot.
Yeah.
Malik Hall was 1 for 6 from the free throw line against Minnesota.
That's brutal.
And then the biggest mess right now is probably the 5 spot. Sissoko starting at the 5, only played 19 minutes, 2 points, 6 rebounds. Cooper came in, played 19 minutes at 4 points, 4 rebounds, and an assist. High minus numbers. Xavier Booker's not playing at all. I have to assume he's going to play some in this game. But overall, they just the Michigan State roster wise, outside of the guards, it's just, I don't know how good this team can be right now.
They have nothing inside. But you know, you have Hall and you have Hogarth. They kind of try to back guys down too. I'm interested to see if Brad takes anything away from that Minnesota game where Minnesota was kind of doubling Hall and moving a guard over to guard Cooper when he was in the game. They were leaving Akins wide open in the corner, but it seemed to mess up Michigan State down the stretch a bunch. But I'm not sure Brad's one to try somebody else's defense out. So I'm sure we'll get five-man switching the whole time.
Probably. Like have to assume Michigan State's going to play well.
Yeah.
Efficiency metrics on offense, Illinois is 7th in the country. Michigan State is 36th. Defensively, Illinois 30th, Michigan 18th. Michigan shoots at 36.6% from three, Illinois 33.9%. So Michigan's going to defend. Big spot. Ty Rogers, we'll see how he does in this game. Came out flying in the last game against them. You were very negative during that game over text, but it was a Thursday night, so it's understandable. Ty Rogers had 15 points, 6 of 8 from the field, and only one rebound, but only played 20 minutes. Harmon had 10 points, and then 15 apiece from Hawkins and Damask. Really doesn't seem like Illinois should have won this game, to be honest.
That was the game after Purdue, right? So it was the second game where Illinois really saw a 5 on Ty Rogers.
Plus, I think that Ty was sick during the Purdue game, to be fair.
Yeah, and I think that Ty's kind of understood that position a little bit more. He kind of gets in that dunker spot and gets open along with getting more rebounds. So
players to watch.
Hold on. I feel like this, huh?
Nothing.
Forrest Gump says, I feel like it could be Izzo's last year. He has
a lot of buzz about that.
Jeff says, I think Dane's minutes could easily be up to 6 minutes a half.
I mean, yeah, but probably not.
Yeah, it could get there.
No, what's going
on, Trav? How you doing?
Why would it get there? Like, Hansberry's going to play a little bit.
It could get there.
Yeah, but probably not.
Ty is going to be so good as a junior and senior.
People are not ready for when Ty Rogers is popping J's next year.
Paul says, this is typical of an opportunity that Illini have squandered after Wisconsin's loss last night. If you win the game, you get a solid grip on solo ownership of second place and keep pace with Purdue. That's right. And has Illinois won as the number 10 team in the country yet this year? Is this their third time playing as number 10?
Can I also say this? Quote, only thought on Paul's comment, quote, double bye. That's all I care about in the Big Ten standings.
Absolutely. I agree. All right. Players to watch.
I know that it's great to win Big Ten titles and look at the numbers and how cool they are, but I can't believe how many Illini fans care so much about that. Maybe we're in the wrong, but I just don't care.
Yeah. I don't – at this point, I have a hard time seeing somebody catch Purdue. Illinois is going to drop some games, and I could see Purdue winning out at this point. So,
Jeffrey, I feel like you might want to detect the sarcasm in my comment there, but go look at the high school tape. There might be something there, a little mid-range.
The man shoot.
I remember last year, I don't know if it was at Nebraska or it was maybe a home game, but his one attempt from three was
incredible. It was off the backboard.
It was off the side of the backboard.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Real bad. My players to watch, I'm going with Terrence Shannon.
Might be better than Luke Goody, according to you.
We don't know. I mean, if he makes one, he's shooting 100%.
50 for his career, but yeah.
I'm going with Terrence Shannon for Illinois, player to watch. I want to know, is he going to be the one guarding Tyson Walker? Tyson Walker's kind of the guy that, you know, he's averages 19 a game. He is Michigan State basically right now. Will they switch off? What is the game plan with him? And it's his real first hostile environment since Northwestern. Ohio State doesn't count. Because nobody was there. So, and then I'm going to go with Jaden Akins. He's shooting 38% from three this year. He went 4-7 in the game against Minnesota from three. You got to run him off the three. You can't let him get hot. He went 3-7 in the last game against Illinois. I think he's kind of that guy. If he gets going, Michigan State has a lot better chance of winning this game.
I'm going to go Coleman Hawkins. On the Illini side, you need to have the overall impact that he had last time they played in the state of Michigan at Michigan and Ann Arbor. Great game from him there. Needed to make some shots early. They made shots early in that Michigan road game, which goes a long way. And I mean, really, a lot of the road wins this year, Ohio State included, they're making shots early. You need that.
They've shot better on the road.
Definitely. And it's a big reason why I'm predicting what I'm predicting, and you're soft. Xavier Booker from Michigan State, just because, like, is he going to play? Very talented, just haven't seemed to find a way in the rotation. And, you know, when you have Cooper, Kohler, and Sissoko coming off of that game at Minnesota, you got to think Izzo's going to want to put him out there.
That is a strange pick for a guy that averages 8 minutes a game.
Is he going to play? It's a big question. He's got a lot of talent. What if this is the game where he has like 10 and 10? Everyone's like, oh, man, he's arrived. That happens all the time.
Sure.
Wait, not no ball? I mean, Hansberry had a breakout against Ohio State.
Hinkle said just joined. Did we talk about Bozo Lenardi? We did, yes. Jeffrey says free tie. Butzilla, agree with Ethan. Just get the double bye and win or two in the Big Ten tournament. That's probably a three seed. Yeah, I don't think that Illinois is looking to.
You want to get a three seed and then have Kentucky as the six seed? Imagine how brutal that would be.
Paul says, I get worried about injuries in a game like this. Michigan State, Illinois has been intense every game for the last 5 to 6 years. Illinois has kind of been lucky in that spot. I mean, besides Moretti, really no injuries. So
56-55 win.
Hopefully that stays. Knock on wood.
56-55 win on Tuesday, January 25th, 2022. At Michigan State.
Okay,
that was at home. I got that one wrong. What am I doing? 79-74 win Saturday, February 19th, 2022 at Michigan State. Jacob Grant's had 24 points in that game. And then last year at Michigan State, it was a game that didn't happen, apparently. Yep, didn't happen. All right, cool. I mean, I'm just forgetting games left and right. What is wrong with me?
I don't know. It's my job.
They've been beating Michigan State a lot lately, though. I will say that. You know?
Yep. It's
good stuff. All right. Predictions.
I don't know why I'm soft. You picked Illinois to lose to Ohio State, so why don't you calm down with that? Michigan State, desperate team, needs wins at home. The Izzone will probably be going hard. I got Illinois, this one just slipping out of their fingers late. 74-78, Michigan State wins.
I'm going to go Illinois 77-73.
What, are you just picking them to win every game? Jeez.
Quad one game. This is only the third game in a row I picked them to win. Nice try.
Because you threw one Ohio State in there.
This is a very easy quad one game because the Michigan State's 24th in the net. So even at home, this is a quad one game. So big spot. I mean, Illinois right now 3-4 in quad one, 4-0 in quad two, 5-1 in quad three. Obviously, the quad three loss is Maryland. The Q1 losses are Tennessee, Marquette, Purdue, and Northwestern. But you look at Illinois' schedule upcoming, there's some quad one opportunities in there. Michigan State right now is a Q1. At Michigan is a or home against Michigan is a like a I think it's a Q3 based on the numbers, so that's one you got to win. And then at Maryland is a Q2 just on the outside of that. And then at Penn State is a Q3. Wait, Maryland's a Q3 as well. I got that wrong. These numbers are so hard to, you know.
Read.
Yeah, totally. Iowa's a Q2, Minnesota's a Q3. Okay, I think I got that wrong again. I'm done. I can't even.
Okay. Hermit says Sparty's missing that 6'9 white guy that does a little bit of everything for them. What's that guy's name?
I thought all of their bigs played.
Jay said would love a number 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. To me, that's the goal. Wade is not worried about this game.
Says he's worried.
Oh, I'm worried about this game. I can't read either. Hinkle would rather play UNC or Kansas as the two in our region. It won't be Marquette or Tennessee.
Feed me Kansas with dummy that team.
Hermit says Illini 81, Sparty 69. Nice. Jeffrey, I got a theory on how to beat Brad. Go into the game with stuff he hasn't seen your team run on tape and make him prove he can coach a game.
Number one. Starting with I got a theory is a tough start. Number two, we're going to sit here and pretend like Brad can't coach in game when he has 239 wins at this level. He has a 608 percentage of victory in conference play, which is the Big 12. I'm pretty sure some of those Southland SFA games got vacated, and then the Big 10. I don't know. I think there's something to the fact that teams have done that successfully, but I don't think it's just an automatic, like, show Brad things that you haven't seen on tape and, oh, that's going to make – let's see if he can coach in game. I think there's a level where that cuts off, and I think you're just pretending like that's a thing that works no matter what, which I don't know. And then let's just never been passed around to 32 as if context doesn't matter. Like, how many fucking idiots are on the internet that don't care about context? Obviously, there's a year where they should have gotten – to the Sweet 16. And I would say that year was probably, I mean, the Loyola Chicago game is still tough. The Houston game was worse, but the Loyola, like, worse from a, like, they had no chance to win that game. Go back and look at that roster. But I would say the 2021 team should have still beaten Loyola Chicago. I don't care how good that Loyola Chicago team was. Bad matchup, right? Whatever. Illinois was a one seed.
Probably because Brad should have changed once they saw how high they were hedging the screens, but.
Well, Arkansas was better than Illinois last year. Illinois stunk. Houston was better than Illinois. And then they didn't have a tournament in 2020 or else who knows. And then Loyola was really good, but you still got to win. It is a crapshoot. Like, why? There's so many upsets for a reason.
You know when Ethan's fired up is when he's clicking the comments, because that doesn't happen very often.
Well, I also want to know, like, Jeffrey, do you want Brad here or do you not want him here? Question two, are you St. Dominic's Rosary?
I think that he only wants him if he plays Danger more.
Like. If that's the case, what are you doing? Sacrifice the relationship of the program with Brad Underwood because of Dane Danger not playing enough? Come on.
Boozil says, Kentucky, the team that lost to A&M, UNC Wilmington, and Florida. Yeah, I'll take my chances against them.
I think they'd be a really bad matchup for Illinois.
That's probably true.
They're like – huge, they can
outrun Illinois,
and they got a bunch of guys that can shoot.
Paul says Minnesota's looking less and less like a gimme too. Yeah, I think we're kind of lucky. We played Nebraska at home, and we played Minnesota at home, like in Illinois at Champaign, right? So, like, I don't think we go to Minnesota, or I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong about that.
Okay.
You're right. Yeah, they only play Minnesota at home, and they only play Nebraska at home. And also, only got to play that daunted Penn State team once, vaunted.
Loyola game was embarrassing. Houston was just better. I agree. Jay says, if Illinois goes, say, 6-3 down the stretch and wins a couple Big Ten tournament games, could that be good enough for a 3 seed? I think it depends on who they go 6-3 against, but.
Let's take a trip back to 2008. And I know Big Ten wins aren't the end-all, be-all. And I'm referencing Jeffrey's comment, I want to win, don't care who the coach is if they get the job done. Let's set aside the NCAA tournament for a second, because Illinois has been to the Sweet 16 twice since 2004, since Bill Self left. They got to the Sweet 16 in 2003-04, and they were the runner-up in 2004-05. After that, it was round two, round one, round one, round two, and then missed the tournament 3 different years in 08, 2010, and 2012 under Bruce Weber. What Brad has done here is gotten them back to a point where they are a top 4 or 3, probably top 3 team in the Big Ten every year, pretty much. They are a tournament team every year, and they're a team that's a threat to go to the Sweet 16 every year, and they haven't done that yet. But I think you got to give it time, because I think you got to give it this year, reassess if they don't make it. I know people are going to be calling for his job or whatever, which is just insane. Like, use your fucking brain if you do that. And stabilizing the program was really the one thing we needed when Brad got here. Clearly he's done that, because let's go back to 08, 5-13 in the Big Ten, 09, 11-7, 10-8 in 2010, 9-9 in 2011, 6-12 in 2012. Then Weber gets fired and they bring in that bozo, John Gross, who in the Big Ten went 8-10, 7-11, 9-9, 5-13, 8-10. Like, that is a horrendous Big Ten record. And he made the tournament once, got to the second round, and they probably should have gotten to the Sweet 16 that year. Thanks to the refs, Miami won. So take that into account as well. And John Gross is a coach who, look, you bring him in. Oh, this guy got to a Sweet 16 at Ohio. How impressive is that? If the metrics were as prevalent as they were back then, you probably would have seen, okay, these Ohio teams are not very good. He had a tournament record at Ohio, I believe, of 1, 2, 3, 3, 3-2. That looks solid. Great. Yeah. Good hire. Yeah. Let's get a coach. I mean, John Gross has been to a Sweet 16 if you need to know how much of a crapshoot the NCAA tournament is. And then you bring Brad in. Okay. Bringing in this guy, had 1 year at Oklahoma State, went 9-9 in the Big 12, lost in the first round, but had the best offense in the country. He coached here way back when. Obviously had three really, really good years. Went 53-1 at Stephen F. Austin in conference play. And then, 4-14, first year in the Big Ten, 7-13, one of the worst teams in Illini history in terms of record in 2019. Then you go 13-7, then you go 16-4, then you go 15-5, then you go 11-9, then you go 8-3 right now. So the stabilizing of the program is there in terms of being a contender in the Big Ten every year, being a threat to be in the Sweet 16 every year. So that's the big step. And I agree that the time to take another step is now. However, I don't see any reason to criticize what Brad Underwood is doing right now. Like, this team is offensively really good, no matter how much Jeffrey wants to nitpick the offense. Like, they got a 121 efficiency for a reason. They've had a bunch of games where they scored a ton of points. They scored almost 80, even though they couldn't shoot it at Tennessee. They scored almost 100 against an FAU team that's going to be in the tournament. I don't want to have to defend Brad this much, but I have to. I just think it's egregious that we find every little thing to complain about. Like, Jeffrey, have you ever thought that the way you think about offense isn't the modern way or what works? Have you ever thought about the personnel on this team and why maybe they're not running a fucking offense like they have an All-American center? Because Dane Danger is 1/10 of the player Kofi Coburn was, by the way. So I think you have to think about the switchability, the versatility of the offense, and maybe why they're stretching the floor, maybe why they're spacing, because, spacing is a pretty important thing in modern basketball. And I don't want to talk to you like you're six here, because I'm not trying to do that. I'm not going to do that, but I'm just saying you have to think about the factors. Would running it inside all the time and trying to ground and pound against team really be the best way to do that when you have one guy on the team that can do it? Ty Rogers. There's a reason they shoot a lot of threes. I guess Damask can ground and pound, but it's usually just a turnaround jumper. It's not finishing at the rim.
Jay says, Brad has done an awesome job. Every coach has his problems. Houston was a terrible matchup. Last year's team was not great. Only blame was the Loyola game to me.
I don't want to compare him to Fran McCaffrey, but Fran McCaffrey has made the tournament 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times at Iowa and hasn't gotten to the Sweet 16.
Wade says, Brad has also has the most wins in the last 4 or 5 years as well.
And Iowa fans would be stupid to think Fran should be fired just because he hasn't been to a Sweet 16.
Fire him.
Okay.
What?
I'm just saying.
You think I have that power to do that?
Like, well, I don't really know why you would say that.
What I'm saying on an Illini basketball podcast about Fran McCaffrey.
Doesn't matter at all.
Does that bother you that much?
No, it's just like,
all right, let's go around the Big Ten.
I'm trying to say Iowa fans. I'm trying to say Iowa fans should not want him fired.
I don't think Iowa fans really care what you think.
Just give them some pointers.
I think most Illinois fans don't care what you think, but
that's true.
Here we are.
Jeffrey, they don't play basketball one way. That's the thing. Like, they don't do that. I don't get the – is this a bit? I mean, if it's a bit, props, but, man, I don't get it. You have to play the way that best suits your personnel. And we saw Booty Ball City against FAU. Like, they were – scoring at will inside. And then we've seen games they tried to stretch it and shoot a bunch of threes, and maybe it doesn't work as well. The Tennessee game is probably an example of that. But that was right after the FAU game where they shot 28 of 37 from two. 75 points. That's got to be one of the best numbers of any team that's played this year. 28 of 37 from two. And to do it no less against an FAU team that, you know, they aren't having the greatest year in terms of expectations, but they're still a top 15 metric offense, 119.4, and they're 18-4 in the season. So there's obviously more than one way to play the game. And Illinois does play. Let me ask you, an unbiased observer between the two of us here, between, you know, me and Jeffrey in this battle. Does Illinois only play one way, which is just chuck it from three and then, like, not use Dane Danger enough? Is that the way Illinois plays every game? I don't know.
No, I think that they have a pretty prominent offense that they want to run most of the times, but they definitely don't do it every time.
I'm not trying to single Jeffrey out here, but I kind of am. Only Illini fans would complain about an offense that has a 121.0 efficiency and they're seventh. Okay, Happy Hermit, relax, but probably seventh in efficiency on offense, and they've scored 80, 64, not great, 64, not great, 87, 88, 84, 76, 98, 79, okay, 74, 97, 104, 96, 78, 71, 67, 88, 86, 91, 70, 87, 87. That's how many points they score on offense. I know the scoring is way up in college basketball, but they're adapting to that, and they're finding different ways to score. They 28 twos that they made in FAU game, 8 threes. Is that a good enough balance for you, Jeff? That's even your real name? All right, we're on the Big Ten. This is good. What a waste of my – no, it's not a waste. It's good. It's good. It's good for the podcast. All right, Ohio State blew a 19-point lead to let Indiana win 76-73. Chris Holtmann, gone. But the last year's team was more of the threes being the end-all be-all because Matthew Meyer and Jaden Epps. Epps could finish around the rim a little bit, but overall, you need him to make some threes. And Dane, sorry, I hate to break it to you, but Dane still is not a guy that you want to run your offense through. Get him the ball when you can, yes, but I like the offense that has Dane passing it out more than I like the offense where Dane's trying to finish, at least against a guy who can guard him, which, you know, Dane's got some moves. He's got some talent. There's no arguing that. I just don't think the fourth best version of this team probably has Dane Danger starting. Fifth, maybe. But five out, stretch the floor, space the floor, get offensive rebounds, let Ty Rogers and Quincy fly around the rim. Shannon, if he ever figures out how to drive again, I think that's great. But Ohio State, yeah, I mean, they reek of a team that's going to be firing their head coach at the end of this year. And couldn't blame him. I mean, the last 2 years have been pretty brutal for Chris Holtmann. Your thoughts?
I agree.
I didn't know if you wanted to talk. I've been talking the whole time.
You have been talking the whole time.
No. Didn't want to overstep. Good.
I'm just listening.
Chris Holtmann coming off of 2022, where they were a 7 seed, lost in round 2 to Villanova. And then the year before, they were a 1 seed, lost in the first round to Oral Roberts. In the last 2 years, they're 8-24 in the Big Ten the last 2 years. This is a school that fired Thad Matta. So could certainly see, well, fired, I guess, might be a strong word, but they let him go. We'll see what happens at Ohio State, but they're bad, yeah.
Would you like to attack this comment? Go ahead.
So we'd rather have the most Big Ten. Michigan has gone to Elite Eight and Sweet 16 in the last 5. Meanwhile, we're happy to have the most Big Ten wins. I think there's a place to be boasting. I'm not even talking about Big Ten wins. I'm talking about consistency and having a good Big Ten record every year, which Illinois has. And Michigan, yeah, obviously we wouldn't rather be Michigan. Michigan's produced more NBA talent, or better NBA talent at least. Hate to break it to you, Illini fans, but Franz Wagner is a way better NBA player than Io. And that's no knock on Io. He's doing fine right now, but I'm just saying something to think about there. I think there's got to be some level of, being ready to take the next step while also sitting back and be like, we're in a really good spot right now. Like, how could you look at this program and not think it's in a great spot moving forward? NIL-wise seems good. Recruiting classes seem good.
I don't want to say ups and downs, but like, look where Michigan is right now. At least Illinois has been consistent.
I'd rather have an Elite Eight and a Sweet 16 in the last 5 but I also don't want what they are now.
Yeah. Embrot says rebounding is going to be key if we play five out. Quincy is a guy who excels at that. Yeah, Quincy's got to rebound the ball better. Happy Hermer says, what road games does Purdue have left? Looks like they have at Ohio State, at Michigan, and at Illinois. They have three road games left. One's Ohio State, one's Michigan, one's Illinois.
Yeah, so basically you don't want to blow a 19-point lead to Indiana out of all teams. Anyway, Rutgers beat Maryland 56-53 in College Park in a game that set the sport back 10 or 15 years. I think it was 8-8 in the first like 12 minutes. Meanwhile, at the exact same time, South Carolina was 7 for 12 from 3 in the first 10 minutes of their game. So good stuff there. Wisconsin at Michigan last night. Wisconsin loses 72-68. Just a puzzling loss. Wisconsin 8-1 starting the Big Ten, now 8-4. Really a 5-0 start in the Big Ten, and they're 3-4 in their last 7. So weird game. I mean, Wisconsin, they were just the difference was they were down 4 at the half. They both scored 35 in the second half, and Wisconsin loses by 4. Steven Crowell, once again, with kind of a no-show, only played 19 minutes, 3 points. And if he's going to have 3 points, and then Blackwell, who usually comes off the bench and gives you some minutes and score, you know, hits a couple of shots. He only had 3 points. Sejan didn't make a shot. Klesmet was 2 of 5 from 3, which you can be fine with. Wall only had 12 points. It just seems like Wisconsin's kind of struggling to find their offense right now. And I know they scored 68, but 5 of 19 from 3. Not great. And then rebounding, only 28 rebounds. That seems like not a good enough number.
What did Store do last night?
Store, 20 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 turnovers. He was 7 of 14 from the field. So he had a pretty good game.
Pretty good, yeah.
He was fine. Hepburn was good. Hepburn, one of his better games lately. 6 for 11 from the field, 17 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. But you got to get more from Crowell. You got to get a little bit. You probably want to see Wall taking more than 7 shots.
Yeah.
He took 16 in their game before, but he's had a lot of games here. He's not shooting very much. So I think they need to figure out how to get Wall and Crowell. They need to figure out how to get that starting five all going at the same time.
Yeah. I think the big problem is Crowell just doesn't have the body to play the five against some teams.
Except Coleman Hawkins.
Yeah. Against some teams.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Look, Terrace Reed's 265. So, yeah, he's got 20 pounds on Crowell.
Yeah.
There you go. Nebraska gets dominated by Northwestern. Northwestern at home is just like a juggernaut. The fact that Illinois and Purdue took them to overtime, I mean, all these other teams, they're struggling even more.
Yeah.
Tomanaga at 11 points, goes 0 for 3 from 3, of course. I think Boo Booey also took this game personally after the first game they played.
Yeah, that's so true.
I assume that had a big reason why. Like, Illinois didn't have anybody to take the game personally. What's the best performance in an Illinois-Nebraska game in the Underwood era? Probably Io. Yeah, I agree.
How on earth do you think I remember that?
You don't remember that? That game was unbelievable. Friday night, overtime.
I barely remember last week's game.
Friday night overtime, February 12th, 2021, at Nebraska. Io had 31 points. 12.
You're just looking at a screen.
But I remember the game. That's the only reason I referenced it. No, it's not. The only reason I referenced it is because I remember the game. I had a nice crackers and cheese spread after the game. I watched a little Brooklyn 99, but during the game.
What kind of cheese? Like the squirt on cheese?
No, it's like the spread. Like the.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, I got you.
6 assists. You don't remember how unbelievable Iowa was in that game? I mean, no. What was wrong with you? They were playing an 0-8 Nebraska team.
Okay.
In the Big Ten, they were 0-8. Illinois was ranked probably top 10 in the country, maybe top 5 at that point. It's an unbelievable game. I remember it quite a bit. But Minnesota, I think, has maybe found their way onto the bubble.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't checked any bracketology to see where they're at, but I guess
one's our guy Lunardi. Right outside of it, I would think.
When did Lunardi update? Looks like he updated on the 5th, so that's not going to help me. What about CBS, Jerry Palm? Not the most accurate. Most of these mainstream guys aren't very accurate. If you want the good stuff, go to bracketmatrix.com to find all the rankings of the bracketologists. Shout out to our guy, Bracket Dom. He's highly rated on here. Let me just throw that in the chat for everybody so you can avoid seeing Lenardi. Anyway, let's see. CBS Palm has Minnesota nowhere to be found, it appears.
That makes sense.
Are we wrong here? I don't know.
I mean, I think they still have some work to do, but
their net is pretty bad.
They got to be getting closer.
Let me look at their numbers in the net. So Minnesota is, yeah, they're 83rd in the net. That's what hurts them. Okay. 1-3 in quad one, 4-3 in quad two, 1-1 in quad three. Yeah, they're gonna need to beat Illinois for one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to need to win at Purdue. They have to win at Purdue and at Illinois to get in the mix, or at least one of those. Yeah, they're probably not going to make it. But, hey, fun team. Ben Johnson probably saved his job. I mean,
yeah.
You talk about a team that moves the ball about as well as anybody and has some really good passers. There's a reason why Minnesota's second in the country in assists per field goals made. Elijah Hawkins is fifth in assist rate. You're getting that out of a Howard transfer, good point guard. Kind of reminds me of he's 5'11". Kind of reminds me of a Tyson Walker type, except he's got a type by not play style because he's nowhere near as good of a scorer, but like a transfer coming over from a smaller school and giving them a couple really good years. Tyson Walker went to Michigan State from Northeastern. But Elijah Hawkins, good passer, had 6 assists against Michigan State, 10 against Northwestern. Maybe the best assist guy in the Big Ten. So Minnesota might have a bright – I mean, we came into the season thinking they would. They lost Battle, but Minnesota's better than Ohio State, so joke's on Jameson Battle with that one.
True.
Yeah, speaking of which, they'll be playing once again. Ohio State beat them by 10 in December, but Ohio State at that game was 7-1, so a little bit different now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. That's good enough.
Well, so much for breaking these up for shorter episodes, huh?
I struggled today to do that. It's tough.
All right. As always, we want to thank Alamo Steakhouse and Saloon at 700 East Broadway Avenue. In Mattoon, Illinois, you can find them online at www.alamo-steakhouse.com. Their Thursday special tonight, lobster ravioli. With a white wine cream sauce. Tomorrow, Friday, get out for the weekend. They got Louisiana gumbo, classic Cajun stew with shrimp and Dewey sausage and crawfish served on rice. If you would like to be a sponsor for our episodes or our watch parties, please reach out to us on Twitter or email us at IlliniBasketballPodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, comment, leave a review, do all those things. We appreciate you all coming out. We are 456, I think, right now in subs, trying to push to 500. We are coming up on episode 200, and Ethan and I were talking about, you know, what we're going to do, maybe do a giveaway for you guys. I think that if we do a giveaway, it will be the people that are here for the live podcast. Not any hate against people that listen to this later, but you guys are the ones that kind of keep this going. You comment, you get Ethan riled up. So I think that will kind of limit that to the people that are actually here. I don't know how you
what if we record
episode 200,
record 200 and then use it as a way to get more followers on Twitter and subscribers on YouTube.
Okay.
Cause you know, episode 200, we'll do a little reflecting on the journey, you know, be good.
Yeah.
We'll upload a video version too.
We'll
do it live somewhere. Let's go to like a cornfield and record. Do something like that. What? Let's find a random location.
We can go do it at Edgewood.
Let's do it at the post office.
First tee. Why would we do it at a post office?
I was thinking of a random place. Do it at a library. I don't know.
Can Christy going off at Michigan? Cam Christy. Yeah, his brother.
If Minnesota can keep some of those guys around, similar to last year, Ben Johnson will have something there, and I think he saved his job, so good for him.
Butzilla says they love getting you riled up. You got any upsets?
Let me get
Is Utah favored tonight? Did I already pick this? Utah over Arizona tonight.
Give me Syracuse over Clemson.
Okay.
People may be like, oh, Syracuse is at home. They're 15-8. Clemson's much better and in the tournament. By the way, I had
Arizona.
What was my pick earlier? I already have one that I lost, one upset pick.
I don't remember what we picked last episode. I guess we should start writing these down.
I wrote mine down. Well, I'm talking about the
Cowboys. Oh, for the other podcast.
The good one. Yeah, not this garbage.
Good one.
What did I pick? I picked
who did we pick in that one? I got Rutgers winning over Wisconsin, Baylor at Kansas, and TCU at Iowa State.
I had Butler over UConn, which turned out to be, I mean, look, that was a pretty close game, 9-point game.
I'll take Utah tonight over Arizona, though. Jeffrey's going with St. John's over Marquette. It's a bold pick.
I'm going, what did I say? I was going Syracuse over Clemson.
Syracuse over Clemson.
Rutgers over Wisconsin's a bad pick now. You're in trouble with that one.
That's all right.
Wisconsin coming off of three losses.
That doesn't matter. What do you mean?
Three losses?
Oh, three matters.
When you're top 15, whatever.
I know what you're saying.
Illinois beat Michigan State when Michigan State was coming off a loss to Northwestern. And by the way,
without Terrence Shannon, right?
Yes. And do you want to remember how bad Michigan State looked at Northwestern?
Sure. Why don't you remind me?
It was a blowout.
Oh, okay.
Michigan State lost that game by 14, 88-74. They didn't come in looking good. They were also 1-3 in the Big Ten against Illinois, now 1-4 after that loss. So, all right, we got to get out of here. We will be back, episode 198, coming, I don't know, when's the next game after this?
I don't know.
Tuesday, Jesus, quick turnaround. And we got the college basketball Monday. We might have to do Sunday episode. Super Bowl Sunday episode. Yikes. We are in trouble. What a bad idea this podcast as a whole. Terrible idea.
I can't believe that we went an hour on this and we went 50 minutes on the line. Like, that's an hour and 50 if it was a normal podcast.
All right. We'll see everybody next time. We'll see you for 198 sometime soon. And goodbye.